The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, your host, Richard McCall, back. Episode 169, the first episode of this 2017 for Columbia Calling. Yes, I took a little break. I apologize that I was not with you over the holidays, but you know, we all need to take a break. We all need a little space from our work, from our daily chores, and to take some time off. And so I was up in the United States in San Diego for a couple of weeks, then off in Mombasa. I'm now back in Bogota. That's right, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, and ready to bring you a short intro to 2017. And for those of you who follow me on or Columbia Calling on Facebook and on Twitter, the obvious Columbia Calling handles, you'll know that I've been asking people to, you know, write in and say, what is a morongo? Morongo, a typically Spanish, Colombian word used in a not very positive connotation. And I think that's what this week's episode, the first of the year, is to be to discuss, is the issue of morongo. So it's just me here, and of course I want to read out some of the participation by those who wrote in and those who gave me some feedback on this, because basically this is a país of morongos. This is a country of morongos. And I've said this, and everyone agreed. They said, yes, you know, it's the best way to describe behavior in Colombia. So I think as Anglophones, we need to know what this word means, morongo. So this episode 169 will be dealing with this. Now, morongo is spelled M-O-R-R-O-N. G-O. And of course, it can be feminine too. But let's start with Angelica Salazar, who wrote in saying that a morongo is someone who is of doubtful behavior, but makes you believe or makes others believe that they're a saint. So we know a few people like that. And she sent us the link to an Aterciopelaos song. So the Colombian supergroup Aterciopelaos, called Baracunatana, which apparently deals with the issue of morongos. So you can look that up. I'll link it on the Facebook site as well. Francisco Becerra, who follows us on Twitter and Facebook, said there are lycanthropic connotations to a morongo. Django Rundle sent us a virtual thesis, but the brevity, to keep it brief, is it's someone who looks or behaves like a saint but isn't. Gloria Jadira wrote in saying it's a persona solapada. You and I both know that word, solapada. So persona solapada, kind of like a kiss ass, really. And Diana said it's someone who throws a stone but then hides their hand, so therefore they can't be found guilty of this. And then I think finally, the last one I'll speak about is Cristina Gonzalez, who really got involved and said that she emphasized the specificity of this word. It's someone who really, you know, shows is shocked by certain situations or words or actions, but in reality, they are more expert than anyone else at that issue. Let me explain. For example, you're shocked that governments steal, but at the same time, you steal from your work and take things from your work home. So she was saying, she put it down to the real specifics. And I think that's probably the best about it. I think I need to come up with the reasons for as to why I decided to talk about Morongo in this episode. And before, you know, launching into real episodes of Columbia Calling for this year. But I have lots of people on standby. Let him bear with me on this one. But the reason I wanted to write, wanted to deal with Morongo is, of course, is this issue with the zones of concentration, the zones of concentration to which the FARC guerrillas and the combatants from the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia are heading to, 23, 24 different locations around the country, and you know, quite controversial, but these are the areas where they will disarm, demobilize, and be reintegrated from there, be reintegrated into society over a certain amount of time. Well, over New Year's Eve, there was a French photographer took a photograph of members of the UN observation force. They were just UN observers dancing with some of the members of the guerrillas. And this was New Year's Eve in a Latin country where people dance the whole time. Anyway, so this was picked up, the photograph, which is just a nice photograph of basically what I would see as barriers being broken down and a sort of, let's say, openness to between two sides there. There's the UN and, of course, just seeing them humans, the guerrillas as well. And, of course, but we got the Centro Democratico jumping on this and saying that the UN observers are supposed to be objective and neutral and they can't do this. And of course, a huge scandal. And so now four of these observers, this was in a camp up in the Guajira, so the northeast of the country, near to the border with Venezuela, a sort of desert area, not far from Fonseca, I believe, in the Guajira. And so these four people, so this is one of them, Paraguay, El Salvador, Spain, and I forget where the last one's from, have been sent home. That's it. These UN observers have been sent home for breach in conduct because of the scandal that arose around this. Now, of course, other photos are now surfacing of the people, UN observers dancing, police members, police, Colombian police force dancing with members of the guerrilla there on New Year's Eve. It's New Year's Eve. And, you know, it just seems a bit out of the ordinary and a bit strange to be dealing with a situation like that. So that's why we're saying a país of morongos, a country of morongos, you know, basically the shock presented by the hard conservative right, the center democratic, and everyone's guilty of this, depending, but this is the most obvious example of this right now. But, you know, the shock and the outrage. But at the same time, you know, why should we be shocked and outraged by this? And if we were to take into account the demobilization of the paramilitary forces under Carlos Castaño in Ralito, Cordoba, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day, are we going to say that no whiskey ever got in there? There was no dancing ever in Ralito. There was never any cockfighting, there was never any gambling. Are we going to say that they are free from sin? I don't know. It all seems a little bit odd. So that's why I wanted to stand and start this year saying País de Morongos. I think 2017 will be the year of the Morongo here, the country of the Morongo. It just seems that everything that will take place regarding the peace dialogues or peace agreements, regarding the outcomes of these various issues that will need to be ironed out so that we can continue down, you know, it's a rocky road to peace. It's a rocky road to find a way forward. But if we can just do it. But I think that on every occasion, there will be some outspoken person, group, entity, or so on and so forth, absolutely declaring their outrage. But at the same time, they cannot be, they are, you know, hardly saints as well. So 2017, what else have we got coming up? Well, of course, I mean, this peace agreement, the issues will continue to be hurled at us in the press or not. In fact, this is amazingly non-objective, let's say subjective press here in Colombia. just take a look at the recent front cover of Semana magazine with Enrique Peñalosa, the mayor of Bogotá, there, and just see the catch line. I don't need to say anything more. Were I a student of journalism or a teacher of journalism, I would certainly use that cover as how not to be an objective journalist. I mean, there's opinions and there's journalism. And, well, you know, well, we'll see how it all pans out. 2017 is going to be an interesting year. Every year is interesting in Colombia, but 2017 will be particularly interesting because we are moving into a campaign year. A campaign year because 2018 will be an election year. And so we've already had the forces mobilizing themselves, the political forces mobilizing themselves. In particular, Vargas Lleras, the vice president, has been, you know, getting his machinery into play and into important positions around the country. He's been doing so for more than the last 6 months, in truth. He's been working on major issues of infrastructure, and of course pulling in his political allies left, right and center. He's the big cheese for the next elections, unless something comes up. And of course he has damaged his chances, albeit slightly, I mean very slightly, but when he kind of slapped his security guard or driver in the head, and it was caught on camera. Who really knows what was going on there? The argument around it and the dialogue around it came up being a sort of diatribe about elites in the country. Of course, Vargas Lleras represents these elites and the elite itself. So, I think if Vargas Lleras was to be elected or is to be elected president, it will be much more of the same. I don't know how anyone could defeat him. I think his political noose is just too much. It's too great. But we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened. Just look at 2016 and all the different elections and voting patterns that took place. I mean, I think we would be idiots to turn our backs on the issues of 2016 and say, oh, this could never happen again. So we're running into a campaign year. Who is the other person who has already thrown in their hat? It's Claudia López of the Green Party. Claudia López has thrown in her hat to try and become the first female president of Colombia. There are those who are very much behind her. She's one who stands up for renegotiating the wage packages of senators and the congressmen, which of course is a very populist move. And of course, people do like it. I mean, they do get paid rather a lot, in my opinion. Now, I was reading something by Alfredo Molano, the writer who's been traveling around Colombia, a great author, knows Colombia backwards. And I read it a great piece by him the other day saying he'd like to see Humberto de la Calle running for president. So that's the chief, the head of the government's negotiating team, the successful negotiating team who negotiated with the FARC in Havana for those 4 years, 2012-2016. Anyway, so he would like to see Humberto de la Calle run for president with Claudia López as his vice president. Now, this sounds like an interesting and possibly strong, strong campaign. Humberto de la Calle, of course, is recognized across the country, while Claudia López may not be recognized outside of the major cities. So that's an interesting campaign. We'll expect Alejandro Ordóñez, the famous former attorney general, to run, and he'll be running on the sort of, we don't know if he'll be center democratic, but he'll certainly be on a far right ticket. Family values, Catholicism, etc. Again, much of the same. He does stand up for an anti-corruption ticket, and we have to support anything that's anti-corruption in Colombia. I don't know how far he could get. He does have major support, though. It all depends where the Uribistas throw their weight. We can expect Sergio Fajardo, the governor of Antioquia, former mayor of Medellin, who also ran as a vice president candidate with Antanas Mockus, the former mayor of Bogota, unsuccessfully some years ago. So you can expect Sergio Fajardo because of his success stories in Antioquia. So the big economic an industrial powerhouse of Colombia, to have a good run as well. But those are the people we're expecting. How are these elections going to be affected? Well, I think, as I was saying, this is a country of morongos. Why has this issue of the morongo been raised? Why has there been such a scandal about dancing with the UN, the guerrillas? Well, it's been to hide the issue of, and to bury the news about, the bribery around the Obradect contracts here in Colombia. Of course, we know that across the Americas, Obradect, the Brazilian company, paid up to or more than $11 billion in bribes to secure contracts across the country, across the region, infrastructure bribes. Obradect are somewhat involved in the Ruta del Sol, so that's the main highway from Bogota to the Caribbean coast. They are meant to be involved in the dredging of the Magdalena River, and supposedly one of the former Uribista ministers is the guy who received up to, or including, $5 to $6 million to enable that contract to go through. So that's why the dancing scandal hit the headlines and buried the Obradect scandal, which of course is much more, I would say, newsworthy and much more in our interest to know about. So what will happen in the rest of this? I don't know. Well, we expect in late January or early February, the ELN guerrillas to sit down once again, the National Liberation Army to sit down once again with the government's negotiating team, perhaps in Quito this time. They will be rotating through various different capitals in the region. We expect that to become an election policy. We expect election battles to be fought over the, let's say, the development of the peace situation with the FARC. And of course, there'll be infrastructure and forgetting to mention it, there's been the big tax reform pushed through at a point over the holidays where no one was going to take any notice of it because we were all on holiday. So that was mildly cynical by the government. Tax reforms are needed in Colombia, but perhaps tax reforms that go much further than hitting the middle class and small business owners right where it hurts. You should be creating incentives for us to invest and for foreign direct investment, not hitting us in the pocket. And I think, again, it's much of the same where the big producers, the huge names in Colombia, the elites will not suffer. We don't want them to suffer. We just want them to pay. Just pay what you are due to pay. So that's my little roundup for 2017. This is the welcome to 2017 episode with me, your host, Richard McCall, for Colombia Calling. I'll be back next week. Next week's episode will be with an economist, and we'll be talking about how the tax reforms in Colombia affect you, not only as an expat, but maybe as a Colombian living abroad, but as a Colombian generally speaking here in Colombia. We will be doing an in-depth maybe an in-depth Informer style piece about that as well, the tax reforms here in Colombia, which I think is very important. Then we've got some other guys lined up who've been employing ex-combatants in their factory here in Bogota, making t-shirts. We've got some other people involved in various other cultural issues around the country, lining up to be interviewed. I also want to do one about, I want to get a panel of women on to talk about dating Colombian men. I know it's a bit more of a, let's say, amarillista, a little bit more tabloid style, but I know that people will enjoy it. Might be a bit humorous for once here in Colombia Calling. As always, check us out on Twitter, on Facebook, write us an email at ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. I can be reached. I'm very accessible to any sort of messaging and even a cup of coffee every now and then. So that's me signing off on this episode 169, the first episode of 2017. Just a short one today, just getting it started. I hope you enjoyed my nattering. We'll be back next week with further podcasts. Thank you again.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.